There's a misconception that you need to see the spirit realm to interact with it. On an unconscious level, you interact with it every day. When you encounter that world, you discover there are beings, names, powers, keys, territories, postures, languages, dignitaries, their laws. Every activity you do strikes a chord in time, but the activities linked to your call that strike a chord in eternity.
From the books of old and the new, the throne room of God and the divine secrets of the spirit, higher dimensions, near-death experiences, the spiritual realm, dreams and visions, plus much more. The RDM podcast explores it all and awakens you to secrets and deeper realms. And now, here's your host, Rabbi Daniel Malinga.
Hello, everybody. My name is Rabbi Daniel Malinga. Welcome to the fifth episode of season two. Glad to be here. I'm not alone in the room. I have a gentleman and a lady. They're going to introduce themselves.
Hey, guys. McLean here. Good to be a part of the studio audience, as always.
Hello, everyone. Kemgisa Maria here. Glad to be back.
Eric, as always, honored to be here.
Albert, happy to be here again. Thank you.
All right, and as always, we're going to be diving deeper and deeper into the mysteries of God. We're going to be having a discussion on a few things that I think will be relevant to you and for you and for your life. You won't be left the same. Let's get it on. All right, it's been a while since we met. It's been a while since we sat down to dive deeper into a few things. But from the last episodes that we had, we're looking through Chronicles of Warfare. The Lord was teaching us about different dimensions of warfare, and there's a lot people could learn. If people had listened in, there's a lot they can get from that. But over the past few days or so, there's a lot that has been, you know, there's a lot that has been on my heart. I've been asking, and I've been, you know, it's very good for a Christian to spend as much time as possible looking over their life and looking for over what the Lord has done for them, where they were. You know that in scripture says, Ebenezer, thus far has the Lord brought me.
Yes.
Where you were, where you are now, and where you should be. Even if you don't know where you should be, at least you should be able to have some semblance of understanding that either I've stayed here too long, or I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. Eh? The most dangerous kind of Christian is the Christian who, and I found them. There are many Christians out there who honestly cannot even tell that they're in stagnation. And I've taught this before, that, you know, stagnation is not a good thing, but there is one light or at the end of the tunnel. There's a light at the end of the tunnel when you're able to tell that you're in stagnation. And that means that your spirit has not fallen along with the state of things in the natural. But if you can't tell that you're actually in stagnation, there's a problem. Such people need help. Now, before we started this discussion, I was asking Albert, can you be able to track your trajectory of your life from the time that you decided, because I'm sure you, many people, if you're listening to me, you've been born again for some time. But from the time you decided that, you know what, I'm going to take this thing seriously, I'm going to take my relationship with God seriously, can you be able to track your trajectory? And are you still on that trajectory? Or have you hit a plateau? Have you stayed in a place too long, like God told the Israelites? You know, they wandered around the same mountain for so long. And so these are the things that I've been asking personally about my life, but I've also been asking God about the lives of people that I meet. People who come to me with issues week in, week out. People who send me messages, send me emails, send me Facebook posts, social media, whatsoever. And I asked the question because we're going to go deep into this. Eh? What makes one man so 100? Let me say, what makes one man so 100? Let's just leave it. Let's not put a thing to it. But sow 100 and reap 10,000. And another man sow 10,000 and reap 100. This is. I want us to go deep into this. What makes certain people, irrespective of the laws that they seem to be following, biblically, that makes them seem to look like they're either in one place for too long, or they're on a down curve. What causes that? What causes a person's life to all of a sudden reach a place where everyone around them seems to be moving, but to them their life is in one place? What causes that? Now, there could be many reasons, because we have to look deep into the lives of individuals to be able to do that. But there's something I want to touch specifically today that I think is extremely important. We're going to be talking about the dimension of blessings. Or should I say the blessing dimension? I really... And you know, in the Bible, it's difficult to talk about blessings without ultimately talking about
Abraham.
Leave alone Abraham. Curses.
Ah.
You know? Because Abraham, of course, is the epitome of a blessing. But it's difficult to talk about blessings without concurrently talking about curses. So I'm going to do this. It's what I'm going to do. So I want to put aside some misconceptions. But I also want to open the eyes of a few individuals out there so that you can know how to position yourself for increase. Because you see, if I was to define a blessing, I'm going to define both a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Off head.
Okay.
A blessing is an empowerment to increase. Okay? If that is true, then a curse is an empowerment to decrease.
Makes sense.
Correct. Okay? Or we can say it this way. A blessing is the empowerment to succeed irrespective of circumstance. And a curse is an empowerment to fail irrespective of circumstance. These two things define why a man would sow 100 and reap 10,000, and another man would sow 10,000 and reap 100, because there are different empowerments or laws operating on either side. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, as we go on, I'm going to explain it. It's very possible for you to look at a person and think they are cursed when they are not. Okay? You don't identify a curse by its results.
Okay.
Neither do you identify a blessing just by its results. Okay? Let me give you an example. Let me give you an example when it comes to curses. In the Bible, David's wife, the Bible says that she ridiculed him when he danced naked in front of the Ark of the Covenant in the presence of God. And scripture says that she was cursed and was made barren. You with me?
Yes.
But you can't say that every barren woman is cursed, because Sarah was barren. Hannah was barren.
Uh-huh.
But they were not
cursed.
Mm. Are you with me?
Mm, yes.
So you can't attribute. Mm. Now, if you're listening to me, because I know the people who listen, who you go through a situation, so you're going through something, and you ask yourself at the back of your mind, and you're a Christian, was I cursed?
Mm.
First thing aside, not every two people can be experiencing the same events. And one is cursed, one is not.
Mm.
You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Scripture says of Adam that God cursed the ground and said he would toil. You with me?
Yes.
So Adam's toiling was a result of a curse.
Correct.
But Jacob toiled for his wife. Huh?
Mm.
7 years and seven more years. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Two events of toiling.
Mm.
One is as a result of a curse. Mm. The other is not. Mm. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
We're just going live. Eh?
Yes.
Eh? We flow. So, there's a blessing and there's a curse. To understand these two things, I need to take you back to the book of Genesis. Let's go as far back as we can. As far back as we can.
Mm.
To the first time a curse and a blessing are mentioned.
Mm.
Can, off the head, can you think of the first time a blessing is mentioned in the Bible? There are no right or wrong answers. Just there.
Mm.
Huh? We'll go back to the book of Genesis, the day of creation. Huh? You know, the Bible says in Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth. Then on each day he creates. And scripture says, he said, and the Lord saw that it was good.
Mm? Mm-hmm.
Then there's a part where he says, very good. All right? We won't go deep into that.
Mm.
But he hasn't yet blessed.
Correct.
God, the first time we see a blessing is when the Bible says, and God blessed man and told him, be fruitful and multiply. Yeah? Mm. Huh?
Mm.
It tells him to take dominion over the earth and subdue it. That was a blessing.
Mm.
If that is true, and it is, that means men do not multiply because God created them to do so. Men multiply because they are blessed.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
You don't have children, and we don't increase in number just because God created us to do so. The increase is because a blessing was released.
Mm.
And so every man on the face of this earth, born again or not, by virtue of that blessing on Adam, is blessed. Every man is blessed. So there's no man who cannot say that they don't have some semblance of a blessing, at least in that area.
Mm.
The next, the first time we see a curse in the Bible, scripture says in Genesis chapter 3, you're going to read it for me there. Genesis chapter 3, I believe, read from verse 14. Yeah?
Mm. Genesis 3, 14 to 16. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life.
Hmm.
And I will put an enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
Okay, so we see the first time a curse is mentioned, and it's God cursing.
Mm.
Huh?
Mm.
So God is the first to bless. He's also the first to curse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to put aside a misconception. In Genesis chapter 3 that we've just read, God curses the snake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it was flying, walking, who knows? But then he curses it and says, on your belly shall you crawl. All right?
Mm.
God does not curse the woman. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Because scripture is specific, it says, and he cast the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks to the woman.
Mm.
Huh?
Mm.
God does not curse man. He curses the ground. He says, cast be
the ground.
Mm. Are you with me? Mm. Huh? Why is that so? Take me. Numbers 22 verse 5. Eh?
Mm.
Numbers. Why would God curse the serpent but not curse Adam and Eve? And it's not just because he loved them. I'm going to show you later. That's not just the only reason why he was not. Anyway, Habakkuk, read it. Numbers
22:5. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Bethel, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me.
Mm. Can we go on further than that? Numbers 22. It was 22, right?
Yes.
You're going to read on from... What verse was that?
5.
Okay, read on.
6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land.
Mm.
For I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and him who thou cursest is cursed.
Uh-huh, go on.
And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their land. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord will speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam.
Okay, read for me verse 12.
12. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed.
So there's a principle there.
Mm.
You cannot curse
has been blessed.
What has been blessed.
Amen.
Okay?
Mm.
So you cannot say that Adam and Eve were cursed. They were already blessed. So God could only curse their surroundings with Eve. It was a process that was cursed, not Eve.
Mm.
You understand? You shall have hard labor and so on and so forth. Eh? Now, I need you to understand what's setting up here. So God curses the serpent. Does not curse Eve, does not curse Adam. All right? Why? Because the principle is set. You can't curse what is already
blessed.
That's the first principle. Always remember. The second thing is this. Not directly in relation to this story. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2. Proverbs 26 and verse 2. Let's see if we can read it there.
Proverbs 26:2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come.
Another version says, a curse that is not deserved cannot come to pass. Okay. So this is for all those people out there that... Okay, now we're going to go step by step. So, we've seen the first time, God blesses. It's God himself who blesses. Then we see it's God himself cursing. In Genesis chapter 4 verse 11, something happens to Cain.
Genesis 4:11. And now art thou cast from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand.
So here Cain was cast. And it's God who cast him. Are you with me? Now, I could show you throughout scripture, because if we go on, we see trajectories. Because as we go on through the Bible, curses and blessings begin to increase in usage. All right? Mm. Later, the next time we see after that is in Genesis chapter 8. Noah curses a descendant of his son, the son who saw him naked. Ham. All right? Now it's man cursing. Okay, so it's the first time we see a man cursing in the Bible. Right? Now, I'm getting somewhere with all this. If we look through the Bible and we find that in the first few chapters, God is insistent on blessing man. And not only that, throughout scripture, blessings are released and avenues are given for men to get blessings. It is then certain that in the mind of God, it is impossible for a man to be efficient and effective on this earth without the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm.
And I'll explain that. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, you're going to read it for me.
Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19,
says,
I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live.
Okay? So there are two paths on earth. There's the path of the blessing, and there's the path of the curse. There are two paths. There's no
in between.
Neutral ground. I place before you life and death, God's blessings and God's curses. And I call upon heaven and earth to witness the choice that he made. Then he says, choose life. In other words, choose blessing. There are different ways men can be blessed or cursed. The first, through scripture, is directly by God. As we have seen.
Yes.
The second is by men of authority. Now, please understand that when we walk around here, you can help someone with something, and they say, "God bless you," I don't know. Maybe you do something that moves someone, and they say, "Oh, the Lord bless you." Now, please understand that. Please understand that because there's power in the tongue. That kind of blessing or even a curse by an average person can have some effect. All right? But because even people who are not born again or spiritual, if you just went to, I don't know, some European country and found an atheist and he said, "Bless you." You understand? And he said, "Bless you." If he means it by virtue of a tongue, the power that men have, it can have some effect on your life. But please understand that there is what they call supernatural blessings and supernatural curses. They're different from just your friend down the road speaking. These are things spoken by men and women of authority. They have legal right to speak. You with me? In the Bible, whenever a blessing was being released, two things were present. There was a blessing that was released. Actually, a blessing was released first with words and second with hands. That's when men were involved in a blessing. Words were present and hands were involved. There's a pattern in scripture. When a curse is released, hands are not necessary. Just words can release, especially spoken by a person in authority. All right, you're with me so far? There are certain characteristics of blessings and curses because I'm putting them all together. a place can be cast. An object can be cast. A person can be cast. All right? In the same way, a place can be blessed, an object can be blessed, and a person can be blessed. When it comes to curses, if a place is cursed, all you have to do is leave the place. When an object is cursed, all you have to do is separate yourself from it. But when a person is cursed, what do you do? Or when a curse is upon someone, what do you do? What does that person do? We're going to get to that. So the three avenues, it can be a place, an object, or a person. And I'm not just saying this. Let me say it through. Let me show you through scripture. If I remember correctly. So Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, verse
26,
yes.
Joshua 6, 26. And Joshua judged them at the time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it.
So, listen. This is the story in Joshua chapter 6. They've just walked around the city Jericho. The walls have fallen. Joshua then turns and speaks to the city, but specifically to the wall that is fallen. And he says, cursed be the man that rebuilds this wall. He says, he shall lay the foundations in his firstborn, and the gates shall be laid in his lastborn. Now what that means is that when he lays the foundation, the firstborn dies. And when he lays the gate, the lastborn dies. In 1 Kings, in the book of 1 Kings, if I remember correctly.
1 Kings 16.
Yeah, 16, yes.
In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram, his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua the son of Nun.
So I want you to understand, some guy, chap comes 500 years after Joshua has spoken. 500 years. And he decides to rebuild the walls. And he lays the foundation in his firstborn son, and the gates in his lastborn. Both of them die. Now, what I'm trying to bring out here is this. Now, that's a curse upon a place. What I'm trying to bring out here is that when words are released, either blessing or curse, they have no expiry date. This is 500 years later. They have no expiry date. And you see, when it comes to things like curses, they don't just happen magically. There are spirits involved. And they've been here. They don't grow old. You understand? They are there to ensure that what has been spoken
comes to pass.
Okay? So, in line with this particular scripture we've just read, a curse is 500 years. It doesn't expire. The only time a curse comes to an end is when a man intervenes. If it is not dealt with, it will continue. Now, please understand that it's very possible. The Bible says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. True. And I'm going to get that. Because as a Christian, he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That can be true about you as a Christian. But if you have not walked into the revelation of it, you can open yourself up to something. Now, I'm going to prove it through scripture as we go on. And then I'm going to talk even about blessings and so on. So I have to touch these concurrently. Or should I say simultaneously to bring the point across. So we see here a place was
cursed.
An object can be blessed or cursed according to scripture. If I remember correctly, in the book of Joshua, I didn't give you the scripture. In the book of Joshua, the Bible says that there was a time the Israelites were supposed to attack a group of people, if I remember correctly. And the people that were supposed to attack and destroy were so few in number that it was obvious they were going to win. So Joshua gives the go-ahead. Right? Now they go and attack. All they needed, the Bible says they just needed 3,000 men. Oh, 3,000 men is all we need. And they attacked and they were defeated badly. And Joshua goes before the Lord and says, "What is this?" And the Lord says, "There is an object that the people of Israel have kept that has caused this loss." And so Joshua had to destroy the object. Alright? So I need you to understand, so an object can be cursed. In the same way, an object can be blessed. The Bible says the Ark of the Covenant rested in the house of Obed-Edom. And the entire time it was there, his house was blessed. Okay? So an object can have a blessing. Then a person can be blessed. It's one thing to be blessed. You can be blessed in an area. Okay? So for example, there are people I know, whenever they apply for jobs, they never fail to get. Or they apply for a position. That is a function of a blessing at a particular level, a favor. All right? You can be blessed in an area. But it's different. It's different when whatever you touch multiplies. That is not just blessed. That's what they call blessedness. Where a man, wherever he goes, favor follows him.
Amen.
May that be your portion.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I need you to understand. I'm going step by step. So, an object, a place, and a person, can have a curse upon them. If we go and look through scripture, the Bible says in, you're going to get from me, Genesis 49. You know, even before we go deep into that, you're just going to get, there are stories of men on this earth who are not believers in God, but because they have encountered certain authorities, the life that we see today is because of people who spoke over them. The richest man in Africa, Aliko Dangote, the story is told, he had an encounter years earlier when he was a young man with Benson Idahosa. You know that story?
Yes.
And so Idahosa was late and wanted to get onto a flight to head somewhere, and asked if there's anyone in the plane who would give up their seat for the man of God. And Aliko Dangote gave up his seat. And a blessing was pronounced upon him that he shall never want. Now, please understand that Aliko Dangote, if you look through his history, is a Muslim, but he also comes from a rich family. But I know many people come from a rich family who still want. You understand?
True.
A man is a billionaire. He's operating in dominion. Blessings and curses don't respect religion.
Protocol.
Mm. You understand? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When an authority speaks, it is established. It's an empowerment to succeed. The word multiplication is forever tied to the word blessing. If there's no multiplication in an area, that area cannot be said to be blessed.
True.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. So, which takes me then to Genesis 49, because it brings across my point.
Genesis 49:3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power.
Now, Jacob is about to die. So he gathers all his sons. And he says, come, that I might tell you what is to come. So on each son he begins to lay hands. He starts with the firstborn and releases. So first read that again.
Reuben, thou art my firstborn.
Yes.
My might and the beginning of my strength. The excellency of dignity and the excellency of power.
Okay, stop there. So he's telling him, what he's saying there is that because he was the firstborn, there was a blessing attached to the firstborn. When the day Reuben was born, this definition was bestowed upon him, the excellence of
dignity and power.
Okay, that was upon him. But then what does he say? Go on.
Thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength.
Yeah.
The excellency of my dignity and the excellency of power.
Go on.
That's as far as, that's 49:3.
Okay. The excellence of power. Okay. I need the next verse.
Okay. Genesis 49. Okay. Genesis 49:4. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defiledest thou it. He went up to my couch.
You see? So he curses him. He curses his own firstborn. Okay? And he says, you shall not excel. Right now, I'm telling you, this is something. Imagine your father. And you see, in the Bible, the Jews, they did not release blessings or curses lightly. You weren't just blessed anyhow. You have to have done something to position yourself for a blessing. Okay? Or in this case, if the elder of the house was, he felt that, you know, you will see a pattern in scripture. When someone is close to death, an unction of the prophetic would fall upon them. You will see it throughout the scriptures. When this one was about to die, when this one was about to die, Isaac tells Esau, the Bible says that he felt that his time on earth was coming to an end, and he told him to go and hunt for him something so that he might pronounce upon him a blessing. So whenever they felt like death was near, they knew that an unction of the prophetic would fall upon them. Interestingly, even in the reverse, how do I say this? When someone was going to die, when a patriarch was going to die, he released a blessings upon his children. However, the reverse was that when a child was born, it was the Jewish custom for the mother to release a blessing on the child. So you will see a pattern throughout scripture where the mothers are busy, they're the ones who name. I would show you in 1 Chronicles, we don't have it, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, there's a man called Jabez. Jabez means pain. His mother named him Pain. Okay? And so he was cursed because of a word that was released. And we'll get there. And so here what happens is Jacob curses his first son. Alright? He says, you shall not excel. Now when he does that, inadvertently he sets every other brother ahead of Reuben. You understand? That's why rarely would you find in scripture the tribe of Reuben, there were not many in number. They were swallowed up by the rest of the tribes. By just one, notice this, just a man speaking. And for some reason, Reuben, no matter what happened, they always died. If they went for battles, they lost the most men. And they would never multiply. There were few. Because a man spoke. And why did he speak? Because Reuben had defiled his father's bed. He slept with his concubine. And a curse was released upon him. Now I want to show you something. Because I'm setting a trend for where I want to get. In Deuteronomy chapter 33. Moses is now speaking. What does he say?
Deuteronomy 33:6. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few.
So Moses now comes years later after Jacob and denounces the curse that is upon
Reuben.
And remember before he said you shall not excel. Yes. And you remember they were always losing men. But he says, let Reuben live and not die. Then what does he say?
And let not his men be few.
You see? Now, we're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere. We're getting somewhere.
Yes, sir.
For an unprepared person, I'm being. Okay.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
Now, that moment, please understand that from the day Jacob, the father of Reuben, spoke, there was a cap on Reuben's life. Whatever he did, he could not multiply. It was a spiritual cap. Even if he put effort, even if he went and studied, whatever he put his hands on died. Thou shalt not excel. Years later, a prophet comes and literally he's saying, yes, your father spoke over you, but now I speak. And reverses.
Amen.
The curse. Now, I have to touch something here. In churches now, people talk about deliverance from curses by addressing the curse. We bind that curse. We do what? Your mother did this to you. We what in the name of Jesus. In the Bible, the chief way to address the removal of a curse is the introduction of a blessing.
It confuses it.
Not spending hours. Curse, you know, addressing the curse. You're with me?
Yes.
You introduce a blessing. The blessing then consumes the curse. The curse dies. Praise the Lord, we're getting somewhere.
Amen.
Now, I'm trying to show you something. When it comes to supernatural blessings and curses, specific people release them. Now, please understand, you're not given a blessing. Well, let me put it this way. Actually, you're given one, but you don't get a blessing. A blessing is spoken over you. Very, very important. You dress it. You put on a blessing. It is spoken over. You're not spoken to. Let me speak to you a blessing. No. You speak over someone and they dress it. From the time a blessing or a curse, even a curse can be dressed. From the time they're spoken, the person is putting it on. You with me?
Yes.
Okay? And yes. In the spirit it can be seen. When a supernatural blessing or a curse is released, first and foremost, blessings or curses by the pattern of scripture are released by the person over you. In the natural, a person over you, the first person over you, are your parents. You with me? And that's why you see in the Bible, parents were the ones always releasing the blessing, or in this case, a curse, according to Jacob, right? The parent speaks over. And as we've said in the prayer of Jabez, the mother is the one who speaks, names the son Jabez, pain. If you look through scripture, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that when Rachel is about to die, she gives birth to a son and names him Benoni, son of my sorrow. And the father comes and supersedes it and calls him Benjamin, son of my right hand. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm trying to make something very important here.
Mm-hmm.
That God respects hierarchy and structure.
Mm-hmm.
In the family, the man is the head. And so even though the mother had spoken over the child, if the father is present, he can supersede over what has been spoken.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way.
Mm.
There's also hierarchy spiritually. Though Jacob was the father of Reuben, a higher authority in Moses could undo what Jacob had said. Why? Because the dimension of prophetic on Moses, you can't compare Jacob to Moses.
Mm-hmm. Levels.
Levels.
Mm.
Mm. Are you with me?
Mm.
Now, child of God, I'm trying to show you how when you're dressed in something negative, it can be removed.
Amen. Amen.
Someone from a higher dimension has to come and not address the curse, but introduce
a blessing.
Amen. It's for that reason we honor anointing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay? My spiritual father, Prophet Elvis, picked me out the day he prophesied to me. He spoke a number of things. The first thing he did, he gave a word of knowledge. He said, Daniel, you stand in the office of the teacher. He said, the distinguished office of the teacher.
Amen.
That was a word of knowledge.
Mm.
He said, do you know that? I said, yes. So there was a word of knowledge given.
Mm.
In that same prophecy, he gave a word of wisdom. And he said, wisdom from above shall increase upon you. And he spoke and spoke. Eh? So that was prophetic in nature. He spoke into my life in that direction. But in between there, there's something he said that was not a word of knowledge, was not a prophecy. It was not a word of wisdom. It was a blessing.
Mm.
He asked me, have I ever spoken to you before? And I said, yes. Now, a few weeks before that, he had picked me out at Zoe Fellowship, laid hands on me and said, receive glory, and walked away. And I remember I was so disappointed because I was waiting.
Expecting
I'll
so much.
I'll never forget that day. My hands were raised, my eyes were closed, and the guy had gone. Yeah? So 2 weeks later, he picks me out and asks me this question. Have I ever prophesied or spoken to you before? I said, yes. Then he asks me, what did I say? And I said, you said receive glory. Then he said, now that glory is confirmed upon your life. Now,
amen.
That is a blessing. It is establishing you. No one can remove it.
Stumped.
Unless they are of a higher caliber. Are you with me? And so I can trace a lot in my life. The trajectory from that day. This glory is now confirmed in you. Now. That's what he said. So a man of a higher dimension released a blessing. And I wear it till this day.
Amen.
Till this day.
Amen.
Okay? When a person has spoken something over you, you will find multiplications around your life that you cannot attribute to anything you've done.
Mm-hmm.
The days when I'm not praying or fasting are the days when there's the greatest financial breakthrough. And you know, while others are struggling to do certain things, for me, things just seem to flow. My ministry as a person, the ministration upon me has increased in every measure because of that. that glory is now confirmed on you now. And I remember when we had just finished fellowship, and that day when we walked out, one of the men of God came to me and said, So you had no glory before. And let me tell you something. Prepare for me. The Lord has whispered to me a scripture. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 6. I'm going to show you. Okay? So, now please understand that men and women of authority, people who are over you, a parent can speak a blessing over you. Okay? The worst thing a person can do is to mistreat their parents. You see, they're the channel. And I'm telling you this because God deals with the parents, especially who neglect their children and so on and so forth. Eh? But the child to speak out, not even just speak out, to act out things. Let me give you an example. Let's say you've got a fantastic job. In your clan, you're the richest. You go for family meetings. You don't even let your father speak. Why? Because he has no money. But because you have money, you speak. Let me tell you something. What you're doing is wrong. That money that you're getting can be overturned on just that one thing. You with me? There are children of God, and listen to me, if you listen to me carefully, that you'd rather keep quiet. Or you'd rather distance yourself or pray for them if it's a parent that has mistreated you and so on. But there are children of God I know who sit under great anointings. They sit under great anointings. They sow day and night. But in that same day and night, they are busy abusing their parents. Almost negating what they've sowed. You understand?
One step forward, one step backwards.
Okay? The Bible says, it says, honor your father and mother, and you shall have long life. The reason why long life is attributed to honoring your father and mother is because they were the channel through which you got life. Okay? So, it is multiplied when you honor them. Okay? There are things in my life I have attributed to simply calling my mother up and saying, I've sent you 100,000. And she says, oh, thank you so much. God bless you. I'm telling you. Something as simple as that, don't take it
lightly.
Because they have an authority, especially in the natural realm. They have an authority because they're your parents. Now, if you don't have a parent, please understand, if maybe someone passed away or someone, there will be someone that you hold in high esteem. That person then takes that place. Okay? There are natural fathers, spiritual fathers, founding fathers. Do your best not to speak against all three categories. Natural father is clear. Spiritual father is clear. Someone you sit under and you submit to. Founding fathers are people you might not directly sit under, but they went ahead of you in something. And maybe, you know, the people who are jealous, let me tell you something. And even when someone has an office upon them, whether you sit in what grace, let me tell you, I have to say this. If you speak against someone who God has put an office upon, just carelessly like that, certain things in your life just come to a standstill. There are people I know who are just in a stagnation like that. It's careless words. I'm very careful not to speak against anyone I know who sits in an office or an anointing.
The power of your tongue.
In fact, I'm very careful not to speak against many people. But especially if I know you're in the other world, there we shall... We shall sit down and have a serious discussion about you. But yeah, people are very careless. Children of God are very careless. They just throw words anywhere. you don't, for example, if you are an anointed man of God and you have your own ministry, and I had a spiritual son or daughter who sits under my ministry, no matter how great they think I am, I should never underlook your ministry because I didn't call you. You understand?
Yes.
Let God deal with what God deals with. Very, very important. So, like Moses has done, like Moses showed us, a person can be of a higher authority and negate what a parent spoke. Because please understand, listen to this. If you look at the story of Isaac, Isaac asks something for some stew. The son, Esau, goes out to hunt. We know the story. He speaks a blessing over Jacob. And I've said this before, Esau comes back. Jacob runs away with the blessing, but Esau feels robbed even though he's left with all the inheritance physically as a firstborn. Because they understood at that time that when a man over you speaks, everything you touch can increase with that blessing that has been spoken upon you. That's why if you notice, let me show you blessedness, like I was saying. Jacob runs away, goes to Laban's house. Laban recognizes, he even says it, my house is blessed because of you. And refuses him to leave. You know, the ability to recognize, some people, nowadays people can't seem to recognize that. They think, there are people who actually think their increase is based on them, when sometimes it's just because you are there. The day you leave, everything comes to a halt. They realize you are the source. But here, Laban was wise enough to recognize that, my God, you are the reason why we are being blessed. And so he forges something to ensure that the man stays for 14 years. That is being sharp. You understand? But I want to show you. So there are dimensions and levels. There are higher levels of blessings. Higher. Jacob was blessed by his father Isaac. A huge blessing rested on him to the point that Esau ran after him. Okay? And even when he was at Laban's house, everything was multiplying. Everything that he touched was literally turning to gold. And yet, when he meets an angel and wrestles with the angel, he's asking for a blessing.
Jacob.
You understand? Jacob, I thought you were already blessed because of hierarchy. There are higher dimensions of blessing. And this blessing that was released upon him was not a blessing like the other one that Isaac spoke. We won't have time to go into that because Isaac spoke expansion and all that. Here, just a name is changed. Just the name. He says, thou shalt no longer be called Jacob, supplanter, but Israel, meaning prince. You guys, are you again? Okay, let me go further. Abraham. God blesses Abraham. Blesses him. Abraham leaves his homeland, goes into a land that God will show him, but later we know is the promised land, Canaan. He walks with God. He has a blessing upon him. You look through scripture, Genesis 13, 14. God is blessing Abraham. I'll make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky. He blesses him. In Genesis 14, you're going to read it for me. Genesis 14. Abraham encounters a mysterious being called Melchizedek. Melchizedek comes from, the Bible says he was from Salem. Okay, read for me.
Genesis 14, 18 to 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all.
Now, He was already blessed by God. But he encounters a person who takes the blessing to a higher dimension. We'll talk about this some other time. And he says, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Are you hearing that blessing? Mm. This is not, I will make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky.
Mm.
Huh? This is, God has given you a planet. Now please understand, there are two people, two beings in the whole Bible, in essence, who God has, actually three, if you count Adam. Adam was given the entire earth. Abraham is given possessor of heaven and earth, okay?
Mm.
And we, his descendants, by virtue of that. But then, the Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So, this blessing took Abraham to the level of God. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying.
Mm.
Possessor of heaven and earth. Not just earth. Heaven and earth. And the Bible says that after that, Abraham gave tithe. Now that's where tithe began in the sense. This blessing here. From that day you track through scripture, no man would ever have to give to Abraham. He would dig wells, you know, they're fruitful. He plants, fruitful. Everything he touched, he had been given great wealth. Because a being spoke over him. Read for me Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 6.
Hebrews 7, 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises.
Okay. Now please understand, Abraham had promises.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm.
But he received a blessing. Huh? He blessed him who had promises. And what the blessing does is it establishes the promise.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So you can have a promise, but absent of the blessing, you're just walking around with a promise.
Mm. Mm.
Replace the word promise with like a prophecy. And we'll talk about that. Because there's a dimension of the prophetic that is promise. Then there's a dimension that is word of wisdom and so on, especially if it's conditional. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
If you will walk in the way of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
Then this will happen. The dimension of the prophetic that is a promise is that it's conditional. But you see, a blessing establishes the promise.
Hmm.
You're with me?
Yes.
Huh? Hmm. Genesis 48, verse 20. Let me take you there.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Hmm. Go ahead.
Genesis 48, 20.
Hmm.
And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh.
Okay. Now here, Jacob is about to die. He prophesies over his grandsons. Manasseh was the oldest. Huh? Ephraim was the youngest, but he crosses his hands. And in doing so, made Ephraim first. Huh? And Manasseh last. That means, let me put it to you clearly. I want to show you authority. That means, if Ephraim and Manasseh entered the same business, no matter what Manasseh did, Ephraim would succeed more. Mm. Huh?
Mm.
If they got married, no matter what Manasseh did, Ephraim would have more children. Are you getting me?
Yes.
That's why these things, and imagine, he doesn't say much, he just crosses his hands, and in the spirit it is established. When a person of authority speaks over your life, you're dressed in it. You with me?
Mm.
Genesis 24. Genesis 24.
Genesis 24, 7 to 9.
Mm.
The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abram his master and swear unto him concerning that matter.
Now, this is something important. Abraham wants his son Isaac to get a wife. So he sends out the servant. Very, very important. This is men of authority who understand what they carry. He sends out the servant. The servant says, what if I go and the person refuses? Then Abraham speaks. Now, he does something weird. This guy gets his hand, puts it between Abraham's thighs. And in that moment, Abraham gives him his atmosphere of blessing. His atmosphere. Then he even says, the angel of the Lord. Now, what he's saying there is that his angel
is going to go with him.
So he gives him his atmosphere of blessing. Where you go, nothing can fail. Then also my angel is going with you. So both of them went, and the servant just sitting, talking to God. He was making a prayer, and there she is. She comes out. Okay? And doesn't refuse. In what world can a woman who doesn't know a person that has come for them and who they're going to marry just simply go, you know, with a stranger? He transferred his atmosphere and put it on the servant. And wherever the servant went, are you with me? Association is powerful when it comes to working in the results of certain people. Just rubbing shoulders with certain men and women of God who have... please understand, you can be greatly anointed, but not blessed. I know people who are wonderful singers. You can see the anointing, but you don't see the blessing around them. Now, I have so much to say. But let's go until we get to a proper end. So, the blessing makes way for the servant to be able to get a wife for Isaac. You with me? The way a blessing is attracted is in scripture. The Bible says that when Isaac was about to die, he says, go and hunt for me, get for me some stew, and make for me some stew. The blessing is often attached to instruction and fulfilling instruction. It's like how Elijah came to that woman, the widow, and says, go and make for me a meal. And multiplication came after making a meal. Or Elisha, who went to a widow who had lost, the son had died. And you know, it's a similar thing, following instruction. Okay? So, instruction precedes blessing. Precedes blessing. Sometimes you will encounter an anointing so great that, and you know, I've dwelt a lot on blessings here, because I don't like to talk about curses, but you can refer even still, because in the story of Balaam, Balaam, a prophet, comes and he wants to curse the Israelites, and we read the scripture, and God tells him, you cannot curse what has already
been blessed.
Now, please understand, Balaam was a person of high authority, because God did not take his words lightly. Notice, he would have just let him speak. He would have just let him speak. There are people who they can just speak. There are people who cannot just, you can't just allow them to just speak.
a word.
I tell them, you cannot bless that which is cursed. And so God uses his mouth instead to bless Israel. You understand? Now, I need you to understand that in the dark world, there are people of authority who can speak things. This, for this reason, why coverings are extremely important. There are contracts that can be made long before a person is born. That can give a spirit legal right to create a pattern in a family. When we call it a pattern, when not just, let's say, the firstborn doesn't get married. Their firstborn doesn't get married. Their firstborn doesn't get married. Once it goes third, fourth generation, it's a pattern. It's not fluke. And if it's a pattern, it is spirit. You with me? Something is introduced in it. Now, it needs someone of authority to introduce a blessing. You understand?
Yes.
And kill off what was initiated long before you came. Because these things are very real in scripture. Another thing I want to bring out. Some people can mistake, like I said, you can mistake delay for a curse.
Yes.
And the words that you say introduce a curse into your life. For example, someone says, I don't think I will ever give birth. I don't think, because my mother never gave birth after me. We haven't had more children. After this, then my sister now is not, you know, those things. You can curse yourself. Always speak to the positive about you. I will have children. I will multiply. I will have abundance. Put these things before your face. Anyway, quickly. So, when a person of high authority comes and introduces a blessing, the blessing dies. It's like when a place is cursed. If you have a higher dimension of blessing upon you, when you enter that place, it ceases to be cursed. You understand? The curse dies. I know people. Listen, I'm going to tell you something that is extremely important. There's a man of God, a friend of mine I know. He wanted to get a piece of land, and it hadn't been sold for years because it was said to be cursed spirits and so on. Listen to me carefully. If God doesn't tell you, if God doesn't stop you from getting a place, go get it. And this is why having a relationship with God is extremely important. If the Spirit of the Lord has said, don't go there. If he hasn't said that, whatever your eyes lay on, you have the right to pursue to get. You with me?
Yes.
Now, even then, when you have a higher dimension, especially if you're under a great covering, these things of a curses, they die out based on who is over you and who has spoken over your life. You wear something. There are things that can never reach you. Quickly, I have to go through this very, very fast. Take me to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 to 16. Then we'll end with one more scripture and we'll be done.
2 Samuel 12, 2?
16, It should be.
12, 16.
7, 12 to 16.
We're getting there.
Okay, so. Anyway, you're going to ask questions as we. And I know they won't be easy questions, but anyway. Okay.
Yes.
You got it? 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 16.
Okay. 7, 12 to 16. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever.
Can you read for me that same chapter? Start from verse 1. I'll tell you when to stop. Yeah?
Okay. 2 Samuel 7, 1. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is thine heart, that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee.
Okay. Now, the chapter starts by, one day, David has fought and fought, now there is peace. Then he sits there and thinks to himself, I sit in a house of cedar, but God does not have a house. He's thinking. Then the prophet comes and tells him, Do according to what is within your heart. Now, he prepares, he makes preparations to build a temple. But then God comes to the prophet, and through the prophet says, because your hands are bloody, your son will be the one to build the temple. But I want you to understand something. The verses we read from verse 12, God then speaks a blessing over David. And he says, your throne shall be established forever. Now, I want to set something here, very important. The chapter begins with David simply thinking, the Lord does not have a house. And God comes and establishes his throne forever because of a thought
which he triggered himself.
Yes. Now, I want you to add, did David sow?
No.
Did he sow?
No.
Was he praying overnight?
No.
No. He just thought about God, what he could do for God, and a blessing was released. Now, I need you to understand. I have understood that there are Christians you look at, you try to ask, what is it they did that has opened up their tents and extended them? And they will try to explain, but you can see, you still feel like
there's still something.
There's something. The reason is because there are things you will do in your heart, and in the spirit realm, God releases a blessing for what you did. What you thought, or something you sacrificed, he releases it, and you don't know. You at first you thought it was because you saw, until there was lockdown, and you haven't been having money to sow, but you've never lacked, and you don't know that it was traced maybe to a meditation somewhere, where you said, Lord, as long as I'm alive, I will never let a man of God, let's say, I will never let my man of God pay yaka. I'm giving an example. I'm just giving an example. Or I will never see an orphan without a home. And you do something, and the Lord is moved to establish a blessing upon you. That in a particular area, no matter what, no matter what you do, it will dress you. You understand? Because
yes.
David here just thought, my God. Take me to Genesis 8. Genesis 8, verse 20 to 22.
Genesis 8, 20 to 22. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelt a sweet savour, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
Okay. Now, here something happens. I want you to understand that, remember I told you there's an authority given to parents. The first parent was Adam. And he was the parent of all creation.
Mm.
And God gives him the authority to name. It's from that day that the principle of naming was attributed to every parent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay?
Yes.
Which is a release of a blessing. You're with me?
Mm.
Now here, there's a flood. God is restarting with a new family.
Mm-hmm.
And he pronounces a blessing. Be fruitful, multiply.
Mm.
The Bible says that Noah offered a sacrifice to God.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes up as sweet-smelling incense.
Mm.
Then it says, and God said in his heart.
Mm.
In other words, Noah didn't hear this.
True.
He said, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, night and day, summer and winter, cold and heat, shall not cease off the face of the earth. And he says, I will never flood the earth again. And you see, you notice, he releases a word because of a sacrifice that was made. And the person is probably unaware, because God said this in his heart. The person who was deep enough to go into the heart of Noah was Moses, who wrote the book. Moses writes the book. So he tells you, Noah, offer the sacrifice. Then he goes in the spirit and hears what God said in his heart. Higher dimensions.
Mm.
Are you with me?
Yes.
And so God releases a blessing. There are things you will do that will release blessing.
Mm.
I want to conclude as I say this. The Bible says someone comes to Jesus. Actually, Jesus goes to John the Baptist for baptism. John the Baptist says, in layman's language, he says, you should be the one baptizing me, not the other way around.
Mm.
And Jesus says, suffer it to be so. Then he says, that all righteousness might be fulfilled. Another version says, for righteousness' sake. Now, I need to bring my point across. Jesus, as a son of God and sinless, did not have to get baptized for sin.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
Huh? But, and he did not have to be baptized by John.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm.
But he says here, let it be so for righteousness' sake. There is a principle there. There are things as a child of God you will need to do for righteousness'
sake.
For example, I might have grace upon my life. Huh?
Hmm.
And because I've understood the grace of God, I'm quick to understand that there's nothing I can do that can send me away from the presence of God.
Hmm.
But because I understand that, does not mean that gives me license to go and rape every woman I meet.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I won't do it for righteousness'
sake.
You need to understand there are things you have to learn not to do for righteousness' sake.
Mm.
You can get away with them because of grace. But there's a higher level. There's an entrance. There's something you enter when you learn not to do things for righteousness'
sake.
And I'm sorry the example I gave, but anyway, you can replace it with theft to whatsoever. There are many people who have taken the grace of God in vain.
Mm.
because they are aware they can get away
with that.
It's very possible to frustrate the grace, the Bible says. You can frustrate it. Anyway, that will be another teaching for another day. So, listen to me. This is the final thing I'm saying. First thing I said is, blessings and curses can be upon a person, a place,
and an object.
That's one.
Yes.
There are authorities that speak either blessings or curses. Mm. Primarily parents, and then spiritual authorities, who could be either a spiritual father or a founding father, someone who has gone ahead of you. They don't have to be directly. Okay? Like, I can't sit here. I don't sit under Benny Hinn, but I can't just speak against him. You don't know which angels are in charge of retaliating. And someone will say now, no, how can angels retaliate on a fellow? No, let me tell you something. It goes back to the story of Lot. The man was going to die with the whole city, and God was going to watch him die until someone of a higher authority intervened. Okay? In this world, there are authorities that release blessing. You can get that blessing either by, when you follow instruction, you encounter anointing by atmosphere. Just being in the right areas with the person, something rubs off and you will get certain results simply because of what someone is wearing. You with me? Learn. I don't know how I can say this, but the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. What that means is that a person can get a Mercedes Benz outside the blessing, but it has sorrow. Someone will say, how on earth can getting a Mercedes Benz outside the blessing dimension of God have a curse? You never know what someone struggles with. But what that means is you can get land outside the dimension of God, being a born-again Christian. People can get rich outside the dimension. But the Bible says, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. The blessing of God. Now, I want to end by decreeing. We're going to decree.
Amen.
Because decrees are signs of releasing of blessings. May your hands never lack.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. May multiplication be your portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May you rise above your peers.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May your name sound in eternity.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you sow, may you reap a thousandfold.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
May a mantle rest upon you.
Amen.
May the gifts of the Spirit open up within you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May you be preserved.
Amen.
Long life be your portion.
Amen.
Children are plenty.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May you hold money in your hands.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May you go to places you desire to go.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May you be surrounded by the right friends.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May you stand out.
Amen.
May you be unique.
Amen.
May you be distinguished.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May your call be defined.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Poverty shall never be your portion.
Amen.
Lack shall never be in your vicinity.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We decree a blessing.
Amen.
A blessing that maketh rich and
Amen.
Addeth no sorrow. May God bless you like Abraham.
Amen.
May God bless you like he did David.
Amen.
May God bless you like he did Jabez.
Amen.
That no matter what was spoken upon you,
Amen.
Whether you are there or not,
Amen.
It is broken this very moment.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
That who you submit to may speak a blessing over you.
Amen.
And when that happens, your life turns around.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
May you see angels.
Amen.
May you encounter supernatural beings.
Amen.
May you be taken into the realm of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
You are blessed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for listening to the RDM podcast. Join us next time to discover more secrets, dimensions, and depth. To find out more about Rabbi Daniel Malinga Ministries, please visit www.rabbidanielmalinga.com, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram @RabbiDanielMalinga.